Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a sexy thing.
It is sexy time. And then they call us, and then they tell us what they're going to do with $1,000. In fact, maybe they will spend $1,000 on a couples retreat weekend.
Yeah, this is an interesting idea. Again, no kids, no phones, no emails, no computers, Twitter, no Facebook, no work. What about football? Can you watch a little bit of football on one of these intimate retreat weekends with your honey? Lori?
Hello.
Lori,
no
Watson.
Football, Paul.
He's the worst,
no,
Lori.
Football's not foreplay?
Well, let's introduce Lori. Watson is our certified sex therapist who joins us every week. We know you had the day off yesterday, so we're thrilled to be talking with you today.
Hey, Lori.
Oh, thank you. So we're going to talk about a do-it-yourself weekend retreat to better sex, right?
Oh, so I don't have to spend $1,000 on a weekend retreat?
That's right. Sometimes couples don't need therapy, really, but they do need to get out of the sexual doldrums, and they need something that will give them kind of a boost in bed. So I've thought about, what would I have them go and do? And I really think first, maybe not $1,000, but I really think they need to leave their homes and go to a hotel.
Yeah, hotel sex.
That's essential.
Fantastic.
Right? I mean,
and no gadgets. Mm-hmm. No gadgets, no TV, nothing.
No gadgets. Well, maybe some gadgets.
Oh, no.
Not the kind Paul's talking about, though. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
No phones.
You can't
no
text
computers,
on these gadgets.
Right.
Not
and
yet.
What they really want to do is prioritize intimacy. Both parties want to think about this is a sex retreat. So there's no surprises. It's not like we're going antiquing and shopping. No, we're going away to improve our sex life.
Mm-hmm. So we're just going to go and get busy all weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We want them to be completely away and sequestered and just focused on each other. And the first thing I'm going to have them do is a really fine-tuning of their touching techniques. And this can seem a little scary, but what I want them to do is basically touch each other for only 30 minutes each. And the other person, the person who is receiving the touch, I'd like them to kind of rate it in a positive way. Oftentimes numbers are helpful, like, ooh, that feels nice. It's a 3, or that's fantastic, it's a 5. So choose a scale of 1 to 5 and rank your partner's touch. And this is a way to give really accurate feedback instead of that's good or it's all good or no, I don't like that. I mean, it's not critical. It's just, right now that's a 1. And maybe later, as the 30 minutes ends, what was a 1 becomes a 5. But people use this to kind of learn each other's bodies. Mm-hmm. And I would say think about it as you're only supposed to receive and enjoy and not necessarily with an end point in mind.
Okay. So try out different touches. And as you're experimenting, they'll say, yes, that's a 3 or that's a 5 or that's a 1. And you move on and they keep rating.
Do I need a safe word?
Not yet. That's the next weekend.
You might need a safe word.
That's next weekend.
That's the part okay. 2. Okay, they can use oil. They don't have to undress. Some people they don't want to undress. They want to just try this as massage, and they can do that. And then progressively moving toward more explicit touching. But in the beginning, I would say do this a couple times. Don't do explicit touching the first time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of even hotter.
And there's less pressure. Mm-hmm. We don't have to respond in any particular way. We can just enjoy all kinds of touch.
What's your number 3 tip?
Okay, so number 3, this is dicier, and I want them to do this at the end of the weekend after they feel safe and they've touched a lot and they've spent a lot of time together. I want them to answer 4 questions, and this is really about directing their sexual dynamics. So the 4 questions I have, and I'll send these to you guys, but in my opinion, our weaknesses regarding sexual intimacy are blank, blank, blank. So they're going to really address with each other where they might be missing it. And then part two would be my contributions to the difficulties are. So when we offer up what is wrong, we also want to offer up how we're contributing to it. And then one specific concrete thing that I need from you to make this better is blank.
So you're asking for something. You're telling your partner something that you would like. That's important.
Right, and it's a direct request. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many people, when they're talking about sex, forget that they can ask for something concrete and specific. Mm-hmm. They just say, oh, I just want you to be better, or I want you to pay more attention. But this concrete, specific request should be time-limited and something that your partner can actually do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth question would be, from my end, you know, I commit to making things better by X. So it's asking for something and making a commitment, especially to improve that area that they've both decided is kind of weak.
So just to regroup on that, you talk about your weaknesses. You give your opinion. Here's where I think we're weak. You say, my contribution to these weaknesses are this. The next one is, one thing I'd like you to do for me is X. And then from my end, I commit to this to make it better for you.
Right. And so the weekend is spent together, mm-hmm, without distractions. They're working on touch, and they're also working on their sexual dynamics.
Because it's important. I mean, every relationship, including your sexual relationship, evolves over time, right? I mean, nothing should be static. Mm-hmm. You should want to get better, right?
That's right. And this is an intentional way to do it. We think somehow or another, you know, we read books on childcare. We read books and take CEs on our work life. Mm-hmm. But somehow or another, sex is supposed to take care of itself, and it doesn't.
Right.
You know, without that intentional, purposed work on it, you know, it can fall flat. So I'm really encouraging people, do this. Take time away. You know, spend time working on your sex life, and it really pays off in dividends.
Take out pizza, okay, Lori?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course. Yes, anything that's easy.
Room service. Order
room
it up.
Service, room service.
That's right. Pizza
wine
after
is,
sex? That's fantastic.
Is it? Really?
Yeah.
Sure, tell us more.
Well, even cold pizza is good pizza.
Oh,
like,
no,
and Lori,
no,
I hate to
no.
say that, even bad sex is good sex. But, you know, come on. Just go have some more sex.
I like you, Jordana.
Just make it all happen. Are you kidding? A weekend alone with your spouse focusing on sex? That's like a part of heaven that we haven't heard about,
Yeah, but
Lori.
No cold pizza. You lost me at cold pizza.
You know, so many people are so tired. They're going in so many different directions.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just the luxury of sleeping in, I think, will give them some energy for sex.
Yeah, take a nap. Get up. Have more sex. Lori, I love everything about this.
All right.
You are so good. Lori Watson is our certified sex therapist. She is the director of the Awakenings Counseling Center. You can find her podcast at 4Play Radio Sex Therapy.
Yes. She does an amazing job.
Amazing job. Lori, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lori.
I got a new co-host tomorrow. On Friday.
A new co-host,
yes, is joining me on Friday.
Oh.
Joyce Fowler.
For your podcast. Fantastic.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
We'll be tuning in.
Okay.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you. So much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know, Mark and I are going away for the weekend. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We're going away for the weekend. So if I come back smiling, you know.
If you're smiling, you had your cold pizza. It's a start.
I'm just saying.
Everything else is icing on the cake.
We actually have a wedding in New York, and then we have taking my kids to visit colleges. Some
See,
fun stuff
you got 50 things to do, right?
It's all good. It's
sex?
All good.
Well,
no, I know. It's
if we have time.
It's a priority.
Yeah.
It's also 419. I'm glad you're back because we need a little weather therapy.
Yeah, I need therapy. Mm-hmm. I need all kinds of therapy.
That's for sure.
And I need to gargle. I'll be back. Relatively quiet weather here, but out west, craziness. And a look at Halloween weather next.
Paul and Jordana.
Hey, no, walking I got my Christmas. We have our Christmas tree up. And Lori is blasting Christmas tunes.
I
the
did
house.
Read an article that the earlier you decorate for Christmas, the happier you are.
I played this ironically, that you actually have your tree up at your house. That is criminal, borderline criminal.
Why?
Because it's not even Halloween yet.
Yeah. Why can't you extend it?
Come on.
I have the freedom as an American, David. To celebrate Christmas whenever if I want to celebrate year round, if I want to keep that Christmas tree up year round,
oh my God,
there's nothing you can do or say.
You have the freedom as an American to do a lot of terrible things, but it doesn't mean you should do them.
Nothing terrible about celebrating an extra few weeks of Christmas. Why not?
An extra 6 weeks?
Well, hey, it's a coping skill. Yeah, it's getting darker. It's getting colder. Yeah. Whatever you have to do to keep your spirits up. And I don't think I'm alone. I bet you there are a lot of people up there that have their trees up. Anyway, thoughts and prayers to our friends in Denver. Another 10 inches of snow today on top of the snow they had. It's going to be 3 below tomorrow morning in Denver. A stark contrast. By the way, that would set an all-time record for the coldest October temperature, -3 in Denver. That comes after the latest 100-degree reading on record last month. September 2nd, it hit 100 degrees in the Mile High City. And the reason I'm mentioning this, because it's so cold and snowy over the Rockies, and skiers are very happy about that. That's one of the reasons why it's so windy in California. And these winds are fanning these crazy fires. They call the weather, of course, you've heard the Santa Ana winds, but they call it Diablo, the devil wind. You've got incredible heat, 80s and 90s, and the winds gusting 80, 90, 100 miles an hour. Over a dozen blazes right now have displaced hundreds of thousands of people, over a million people still in the dark. Can you imagine the apocalypse?
No.
I mean, I don't think any of us in Minnesota have a full appreciation of what people in California are going through. And I know, yeah, California, most of the time, the weather is about as good as it gets. I mean, it's beautiful out there. But when it's bad, it's a little like Florida, you know, with the hurricanes. When it's bad, it's hellish bad. And so the fact that it's so cold in Colorado and snowing in Utah means that the winds are gusting. The greater the contrast in temperature, the stronger the winds have to blow. So it's in the 70s and 80s in California. It's below zero in parts of Utah and Idaho. And that is putting the squeeze on the atmosphere, whipping up these insane winds. And again, 1 to 2 million people in the dark. PG&E, the big utility, preemptively turning off the power. And that's causing a stink, a furor.
You know, my son asked me today, and I'm sorry if this is off topic, but he said, does climate change have anything to do with the fires?
It does. It's one of many factors. It's drier across most of California most of the year. With climate, wet areas are trending wetter. Look at what's happening here.
Yeah, for sure.
And dry areas are trending drier over time. It's a little simplistic to point to this and say, oh, this is only climate change. Climate, a drier climate, a hotter climate is definitely making these fires. When they do form, it's making them bigger and hotter and lasting longer. It's making them more ferocious. It's making them harder for firefighters to knock down. So, yeah, it's a contributing factor.
Okay.
But also fuel, you know. One of the factors, too, with these trees, you know, can you harvest some of these trees, the brush? Can you get that stuff off the ground? Because it's fuel. And when these fires do strike, you've just got more fuel ready to go up in smoke. Halloween this year, low to mid-30s, dry, no issues here. It'll be scary if you're expecting somebody in from Chicago on Thursday. Could be 3 to 6 inches of snow there. Cold enough that the storm track shoved to our south and east. By the way, the long-range models hinting at 50s by mid-November.
Fantastic.
Be nice to get a little touch of Indian summer here before the flakes really start to fly.
I feel bad for the kids trick-or-treating, though. They're going to be cold on Halloween.
But it's going to be a light breeze if they're dressed properly. There's no rain, no snow Thursday evening. We've seen worse. Of course, Halloween 91, I will take to my grave. More on that. Some recollections. We'll do more on that tomorrow with weather therapy. That's all I got.
All right, rest that voice. If you found a wallet with $7,000 cash, what would you do? Find out what one guy did next.
Paul and Jordana. Beyond the headlines.
Did you ever lose your wallet?
Oh, yeah.
And was there money in it?
Yeah, not a whole lot. The bigger pain was having to replace the credit cards.
Yeah, that is an annoyance. In LaSalle, I believe Illinois, a first-time visitor to America lost his wallet not long after landing at Peoria Airport. The wallet contained $3,000, and you know what? He got it all back.
Wow.
Welcome to America. But get this. A $7,000 wallet or $7,000 in cash was found inside a wallet in February. This month it was discovered, and get this, the owner of that wallet got everything back. LaSalle police officer looked into the case to make sure everything was there and everything was on the up and up. He says how many people who found a $7,000 cash in a wallet would bring back every last cent. There are good people in the world. The 53-year-old in LaSalle lost it. He grew up 10 blocks from, he lives 10 blocks from where he grew up. Once the home of his grandparents in a residential neighborhood on the edge. He says it's what people call an East Ender. He said he lost his wallet, and I guess the neighborhood is good enough because somebody returned it with the $7,000 inside. Can you imagine? And also, who keeps $7,000 cash in their wallet? I think that is absolutely insane.
I don't get why you need to walk around with that much money.
Somebody returned it at the police station's Lost and Found. Somebody brought it back. Went to the police station's Lost and Found, and he got it back. Pretty amazing,
no kidding.
Huh?
Well, good for them.
Good
for the people that did the right thing.
Exactly.
Restoring our faith in humanity. Jory, you picked normal names for your kids.
Well, I mean, they're pretty
nice names.
Not crazy. Not like Jordana. Thanks, Mom.
Jordana's fine. I think we chose normal names for our boys, Walt and Brett. There are some baby names that are outlawed. We give people a lot of leeway in the United States, most states, and it varies state by state. New Jersey bans names that include obscenities, numerals, or symbols. Apparently, one couple was able to name their children Adolf Hitler.
Nice.
And Joyce Lynn Aryan Nation.
They sound like great people. They sound like really quality parents.
In 2015, a French couple decided to name their daughter Nutella because they hoped she would wind up being sweet.
Oh, my God.
One French judge wasn't having it, insisted the name could only lead to, quote, mockery and disobliging remarks.
You think?
So it was ruled out. The name apparently could be shortened to a considerably more conventional sounding Ella. In Sweden, a baby girl was baptized under the heavy metal name of Metallica.
Okay.
And why not name a little girl Metallica? But tax officials eventually deemed it inappropriate. New Zealand stepped in before some poor kid had to spend the rest of their life with a name Sex Fruit.
Come on.
I guess
what's with these parents?
There are parents that don't like their kids very much.
Yeah, what is with these parents?
Couple from southern France barred from giving the name of Prince Harry to their child in 2015. Again, according to a French court, the name would have led to a lifetime of mockery. The backup name, Minnie Cooper, also denied to this.
Well, I'm a fan of that. I love Minnie Cooper, so I think they should
have been allowed. But you wouldn't name your child Minnie Cooper.
A friend of mine named her kid Seven.
Seven?
And did you say in New Jersey you're not allowed to name your kid a number?
Obscenities, numerals, or symbols.
Yeah, she named her kid Seven. And that's his name, Seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
It's like a science fiction thing.
Kid's name is Seven.
Wow, that's weird.
And
freaky.
This is way before Stranger Things and 11, so yeah.
Wow.
Remember Grease? Olivia Newton-John
and
John Travolta had that big scene at the end where they sang "You're the One That I Want" at the carnival after they were graduating.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Well, she wore that iconic black leather jacket, skin-tight pants, remembers off the shoulders.
Had quite
spandex.
A crush on Olivia.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I had a crush on Olivia. Wow, she looked hot in that scene. That outfit is going on sale at an auction house in Beverly Hills on Saturday. Now, yesterday, we did a story about Kurt Cobain's green literally holy, because there was a cigarette hole in it, sweater being sold for $334,000.
Wow.
It was what he wore in his last video.
It's a serious Nirvana fan.
Wore it 6 months before he died, and it was not washed. I guess they can confirm that. What do you think Olivia Newton-John's leather, skin-tight outfit will go for at auction?
$250,000.
You know what? That's a pretty good estimate, because it's estimated to fetch between $100,000 and $200,000, along with hundreds of other items from Olivia Newton-John's career. So I will keep you posted. They say other original Grease items, including a pink dress she wore and a script, were valued at $4,000, $3,000, and $5,000. custom pink ladies jacket given to her by the Grease cast is expected to fetch about $4,000. So we'll see. You said quarter of a million. We will see next week how much it looks.
Things are going for more money.
There seems
to be more money than sense.
That's right. That's right. She's 71 now, by the way, John Travolta, or Olivia Newton-John, who was on Sandy Olsen.
And isn't she fighting
breast cancer? She's a breast cancer survivor. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, a couple of times. After being diagnosed with breast cancer for the third time in 1992, she is selling some of her items to raise funds for cancer wellness in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Our thoughts with Olivia Newton-John. I'm relieved to hear that the United States nuclear arsenal no longer relies on floppy disks.
Phew! It's frightening to know that it was yesterday.
Many of our listeners remember floppy disks, mm-hmm. and at the time they seemed like such an innovation.
Sure.
Look, there's still thousands and thousands of nukes that we have and the Soviets have, and at one point the U.S. relied on floppy disks to coordinate the nuclear arsenal.
Right.
Up until June of this year, the nuclear command and control system still runs on an enormous IBM computer from the 1970s, but the content has been transferred to a solid-state digital storage system. Storing all this stuff on 8-inch floppy disks on systems unconnected to the internet made it less vulnerable to hackers.
I can see that.
That's how they justified that.
I get that. That's fair.
And there was also a certain amount of, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it attitude in play. But the Government Accountability Office brought attention to the Defense Department's use of floppy disks. And everybody agreed that, yeah, maybe it's time.
Maybe it's time.
To advance to something a little more sophisticated,
maybe
like 8-track, maybe an 8-track tape.
Mm-hmm.
No? Do you remember those?
Of course I remember 8-track tapes. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Apple has introduced more inclusive emojis. You know, every year the Emoji Consortium gets together and they decide what is going to be a new emoji. So what do we get now? We have disability-themed emojis. We have gender-neutral characters. We have seeing eye dog, characters in wheelchairs with prosthetic limbs. Another new emoji is a waffle. Butter. Did we really not have a butter emoji before?
I guess not.
Wow, we're really behind the times. A sloth. And I made fun of the sloth at first, but I thought, oh yeah, I could totally see myself using the sloth. And a yawning smiley face. You know, we now have different skin tones, occupations, and flags. And the Unicode Consortium, who decides on all of this, you know, decided to add some diversity to the mix. People with disabilities, and again, gender-neutral characters. So you will soon be seeing some new emojis on your phone.
You should have your own emoji.
You can make your own avatar now. Well, there's something called Bitmoji that
looks
like you. Absolutely. And also, by the way, today, Apple unveiled, did you hear this? The new AirPods that are noise-canceling.
$250.
Yeah. But noise-canceling headphones are expensive.
Yeah.
They are. The ones you use on the plane, that's expensive that you buy. I mean, like the, you know, the Bose ones or whatever you buy. But these are dual purpose. You know, they're AirPods and they're noise canceling. I think they're going to be a hit.
Can you just cancel the noise that's annoying?
Don't.
Can you let through the good stuff?
That's going to be me.
No. I didn't even think that. So this guy in Tennessee grew a 910-pound pumpkin.
Sure he did.
Because he could.
Yeah, that's right. That's why.
And look, he apparently harvested the seeds and decided to have some fun with the kids. Monday night, he plunged the pumpkin into a pond on this family's property. He climbed inside with an oar in one hand and started paddling around in a giant pumpkin. And then he stood up
paddling
in the pumpkin.
Paddling around in a giant pumpkin. You just said that.
It's a great country, isn't it? You have the freedom to grow a 910-pound pumpkin and then convert it into a really bad boat. He stood up in the pumpkin before tipping over into the water.
Oh,
he's fine.
Boy. Okay, so I guess it's not that seaworthy, the giant pumpkin.
Look, in Morton, Illinois, they have pumpkin boat races. Participants paddle their way across a lake while sitting in 500-pound pumpkins.
What could go wrong?
But this was a big one, 910 pounds.
Whew. That is a giant pumpkin. Charlie Brown.
All right. Paul and Jordana, DJ Dave Josephson on the board. And Mike, Max, and Mike, we would be remiss if we didn't remind listeners who may be driving home right now, they got the radio cranked. The NCAA cleared the way for college athletes to begin profiting from their name, image, and likeness. Earlier today, this is a concession, this whole ability for college athletes to make any money off endorsements. But it seems like NCAA, at the end of the day, didn't have any choice. Or did they, Mike?
Let the fun begin. Yeah. This is a thing that they either had to fight legally.
Right.
It would have gone to a higher court. California cleared the way with their governor saying, hey, let's do it, blah, blah, blah. So the NCAA had to react in some way, shape, or form. My guess is this is a preemptive strike that says maybe if we get out in front of this, maybe we can create the rules so that we can still have control over these institutions. And since we came forward in good faith and said, yes, they should benefit by it, maybe they'll allow us to set the guidelines, because you've opened up Pandora's box. You've opened up a can of worms here in terms of, you know, how you going to divvy this up, who's going to get paid, and how much they're going to get paid, you know? So the NCAA, I think, probably did it before another state said, hey, yeah, we recognize what California did, and, you know, we'll do the same thing.
Well, Florida stepped up, last week, right? I mean, so the dam was about to burst.
If they did or not, but you tell me how you're going to begin to equate. Now, the Gopher football team is going to have a lot more national impressions from different players this year because they're hot. Does that mean some guys are going to get paid more money because they've done well and therefore they're on national TV more? I have no idea how they begin to create a directive on this that says, okay, well, your quarterback was, you know, he was really played well this year, so he gets more money. I don't know what happens there.
Yeah, but it's kind of it's a new world, right?
It's a new world.
It's a no man's land, because as a coach, and I sympathize with coaches, you want to build that teamwork, the camaraderie, and suddenly you're looking across the way at these other teammates who are making considerably more money from endorsements. How can you have a team when everybody's kind of in it for themselves when it comes to endorsement money?
There's two people that end up, two sets of people that end up on the short end of the stick on this. Number one are the coaches, because however much money comes into that institution, they've always been at the top of the food chain. They get the most. Now, maybe some of that salary stuff they were getting is going to get spread out. Number one, you know, in terms of money and being dispersed and all those things. But a coach cannot oppose this. How can you go out and recruit kids and say, I'm against this?
Right,
and another
coach
saying, I'm all for it. I want you to make all the money you can, Ernie. Come on over to our school. We'll take care of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So every coach has to say, oh, yeah, I'm in favor of them getting paid. In the back of their mind, they're going, gee, how does this affect me? Now they're going to figure out the athletes are more valuable than I am. The other people they're going to lose in this deal are the ones that are in their Division I, but they're not high profile. They're not programs or teams that are going to be on TV much, that you're going to want their likeness, all those things. They're going to lose because it's going to be the haves and the as of now, the haves and the have-nots.
Right.
You know, UCLA, yeah, bring it on, you know. Minnesota's somewhere in the middle there, which could be really interesting. And then you got to see how much they allow schools to solicit sponsorships that generate money. And then does it become, well, Minnesota benefits because they're in a Fortune 500 community? I don't know.
There is no shortage of sponsorship money. And I think, I mean, look, I know it's not going to be easy, and this is brave new world territory, but you got to start somewhere. And yeah, people are going to take advantage, and maybe it's going to seem a little unfair in the beginning, but, you know, power to the athletes. I think they bring a lot of money and a lot of attention, and I'm glad to see them getting something.
The other benefit is there may be some kids that go to college now that were going right to the pros before, or that stay in college because, hey, I'm making enough here, you know. And those would be
point.
The only people, you know, those would be your high end guys,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Those would be the guys that are really, really good, are going to be making enough of a salary that they go, hey, this college thing ain't bad. I can do a couple years of this before I go pro.
But the pros, you know, okay, the Vikes have proven, just like every other NFL team, that nobody makes the same amount of money. It's not socialism, right?
It ain't Camelot, brother. Yep.
It's merit based, and yet they still come together cohesively as a team. It can be done. Talk to us about the Vikes. Is Mahomes going to be playing? Is he suiting up?
It's Tuesday, so it's hard to say, because Tuesday's always a day off for teams, so they don't have much communication. Tomorrow's the key day when teams come back and they gather and they practice again, and then they see where you're at. I would doubt it, just based on, but what do I know? I'm not down in Kansas City. Based on the information that you hear coming forward,
right,
I don't see how you could rush him back that quick based on what you heard early. Now, who knows? I've seen stranger things happen. I saw Brett Favre one time when they said his career was done. All of a sudden, they're playing at TCF Bank Stadium. stadium. Who's the starting quarterback? Brett Favre for the Vikings against the Bears, you know. And he was supposed to be out forever, you know. So you don't know how guys respond to. But I'm just assuming, based on what we heard last week, that it would be tough for Mahomes to get back this week.
Okay.
Wolves are 3-0. They play the 76ers in Philadelphia tomorrow.
Yep.
That's pregame 5:30 right here.
Right here.
Yep.
What's on your show tonight, Mikey? You coming in?
Jeff Schimmel used to be the AD here and at San Diego State and now runs a search firm for coaches. So we're going to talk to him. We're going to go right into the teeth of this matter and talk to him about just this. He's very well versed in all this. Works out of Georgia now and helps place coaches at high-profile programs. So he's been very much on top of it. Ken Foxworth used to play for the Gophers as well. And he's going to come in studio and we'll talk to him about it as well. So a lot of conversation about the pay-to-play.
All right, Mike Max, you're awesome. We will
Thanks,
be
guys.
Tuning in tonight
Thank
to you,
Michael.
On WCCO. And also, the Wild play the Stars in Dallas tonight.
We didn't bring up the whole Penn State Gophers
Not
thing.
Yet.
I really
yet.
Want to avoid that as
no,
long as
gonna
I
have
can.
A bet with Corey Heppala. There's going to be some money or some food on the line. Oh, no, we're milking it, baby. We are milking it. Okay, up next in our trenders, boobs. Stay tuned.
What?
Paul and Jordana.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.